something else in the mountains in Missouri. I'm here to tell you my story, my trip in space to Mars, the moon, and Venus. Well, first start my story by telling you the first contact when they flew over my home. That was July the 30th of 1954 at 4 p.m. I heard a terrible noise on the radio that was louder than the static, and I threw it down just the road and popped the cliff to see what I had. The silence always seemed loud. It was not a static, but it appeared to be some station coming in. Probably heard some unknown drawn town, and I couldn't figure out what it was. But the main thing, my phone was raising, came outside, going round in circles, falling down, nickering. My dog was barking loudly for me to come out. So I, more than what I had on the radio, my best attracted my attention. So I went outside to my best, and doing more than anything else, and what about the word, what the station I had to do against was bothering me. So when I went outside, directly over the kitchen door, I saw one huge. At that time, I called it a thing. I didn't know what else to call it. Didn't think to call it even a disc at that time. But it's called a thing at that time. Directly over the kitchen door. Now, I know it's two quite high. So I hurried back to the house without waiting to see what they were doing or anything, just get my camera, so it might sometime or other get a picture of that, see what it was. So I got my camera and hurried back up to the kitchen door again, and I think it was going down towards the west. That is about 1,500 feet west of the house. So I had to wait a little while. I didn't know where to go down there, where is the house, or what is the house, or what they want to do. So while I was waiting there at the house, they flew from west of the house to straight north of the house. And then they played around in the low clouds, low enough that I took sure of the picture. So I had the camera setting on a barrel, and the corner pulled to my fence there, and back, right back to the kitchen door of the home, around the front part of the house. I set the camera on there and waited till they got close to, I thought I was there, or to the close they could possibly would come. And I took one snap, and I waited all three was in the viewfinder, I thought they were. I took another snap, and I thought I at least had two, or perhaps three that time. I took three snaps, and was pretty sure each time at least one to two or perhaps three would be in the viewfinder each time. And I sent these into the barrel. I'll be there till that's where I'm going to the story. Sent it into the corner drugstore to have them developed. I didn't even wait to take the rest of the roll. And I sent it into the corner drugstore and the mountain reserve to have it developed and printed. The drugstore sent my film back to me, sent my prints back to me. And they notified the Air Force that they thought I had something that they should see. And they requested them to get in touch with me. They thought I had some patient see, and the Air Force did get in touch with me. They asked me if I'd be one to take part of the UFO program and send them what I had photographed. So I wrote them and told them I'd be glad to take part in. So they asked for my film. So I sent them my film, and they wrote me back that they thanked me very much, and as soon as they could take other copies of it, that they would be returned to me. Since they have visited me many times. But now I'll go back to my story there now where I left off at the time I photographed them. I photographed them behind the barrel at that time. And after I got my three photographs made, I decided to see if I couldn't fly them down to get them to land on my place again. So perhaps see where they were, what they were. I didn't have no idea what it was. I had no idea what it was, because they only take a farm magazine and a comic paper. And they had never said any problem. Anything like that, I had to know. So I attempted sliding down my flashlight, and I did attempt it several times, and motioned up and down the flashlight, raised and lowered the flashlight. And at the time I done that, they got the ray on me much hotter and brighter than the sun. And at that time, I really wasn't scared because I thought I'd made friendly contact with them. And I couldn't see if they'd harm me, so I really wasn't scared for that reason.
I moved around a little bit. I knew a friend was getting another flight, I think, because I didn't know there might get another in an hospital with it. Because if that knocked me down, or not hard as if I didn't get to the club and knocked down, so I waited till they had left, make sure that there wouldn't be any others. So I waited till after the car had gone, all three of them, and I moved around a little bit to see if I'd be possible to get up. I just wasn't sure they'd get up or not. Before, if I even fell down or slipped, I'd get there in the pain, and that's when they do my back. But nothing seemed to show up in my pain. Moved around a little bit, felt no pain, so I got up. I'll be afraid here that I've never been bothered with that since. But I've been wanting to store it here, though, for a few hours. It's done. It's necessary to do that. So after I got up, I felt no pain. As I say, I've felt none of them since. I was a little baby sharp cheek pain. So I went in the house. I thought a long time and wondered what that was. Just, of course, the time my photograph, I got my photograph back for quite a little while yet. So I went in the house, thought a long time and wondering what I'd got. I'm wondering how soon I'd get to town, get them to the development plan done. But we got all the giddiers of what I call the first contact. Just gone into the first contact. They flew away and I saw nothing more of it for quite a little while. The next contact was February 1st, 1955. That was at 12 o'clock noon. They circled over the house and asked a friend of boys to come from some sort of a CA system. And they told me they could hear me talk, the things I could hear them talk. They asked me in a friendly voice, are you friendly? And I told them yes, indeed. And they told me that about that thing they shot at me, they knew of my illness and just helped me, but they didn't wish to harm me. And they asked if they could lay in many times if necessary. And they asked for a water spring, if they may come and have water spring. They said that they seemed to be cleaning out, and they made the mention of it, they seemed not have used it, but they said they were going to clean the spring out by letting them use it. I made a two cisterns of power, so it wasn't necessary for me to go down 1,600 feet and down a very steep hill to get water there. So I hadn't used that spring for several years. I've been getting water from the house, but the cisterns were filled with water, but good drinking water. So I told them they may use that water some day for their use, but they wanted for their use, they said, in their ship. So that just about landed, that just about ended the second contact. So the third contact, I let them go to the museum before they left. So the third contact is March the 5th, 1965, at 12 o'clock midnight. They landed and entered the house, three men and a big, huge doll. The young man, giving his name as Bucky, the second man is Solomon, 200 years old, Bucky is 19. And the third man was what they called a trainee, but they never give his name, or he never gave his name. Bucky and Solomon appeared to be about the same age. Both, they both. Yes. The trainee was, of course, much older, because his wrinkles were very young, and very bad wrinkles. The wrinkles seemed to run 2 weeks. He's very wrinkled. Yeah, man. After they had to give their age, they turned to him, expecting him to give his age. Because they talk English or not, I don't know. But none of the trainees ever did talk to him. They just smiled around, any of my contacts, but they never did give their age or his talk. So I don't know whether he couldn't talk to my age or if he couldn't talk my language. But he just smiled, but he's much older, I know, but I give my what I really think. I really say on what I know and what I saw. But yet, I can see that he's learning new trade at that age. Impressed me very much. He's very old, yet learning new trade at that age. He's learning faith, travel, and mainly, it says, faith navigation. Was his main learning on that mission, they told me. They did everything I had in my home. They started him looking at things from the time they entered the
kitchen.
Well, first, I believe the circle here, we shook hands when we came in that night, the 12 o'clock that night. They all shook hands with me. And the dog even set up and put his paw out to shake hands. Well, then after they entered the kitchen, they wished to see everything I had in the home. So they come in the kitchen first, because they come in back doors for that reason. They wanted to see the stove, kitchen stove. I lit it. I had an oil stove there, lit it for them. I lit a wood stove that I cook on, cook stove, but it's much little fire in it, it's mostly trash, and lit that for them. They then lit everything I had in the house. So they went married to the front room. They stopped different pictures along the walls from the time they first entered the room. The first they saw when they entered the front room was the cot there, one of the used for emergency beds. And that was the first time they made any remark, not anything, to say very much. That started the conversation. I had covered both blankets on that bed, mattress, and the door was loose. They said that their bed had no blanket, but their mattress had a mattress, but the door was even solid in the mattress, so that there's nothing to move around and pull anything off of you. No closer blanket over you, but there's a canopy, sort of the canopy, that comes from the above the bed quite a little way, so it would hit you when you're lying on the bed, and come down to the past the bottom of the bed, so if you dial in, you can hold any that you wish there, they told me. Well, they tell me what they had in their home while they took my home over. So that from this deadly bath now, it might be my bedroom that they seem to know interest in. They seem to know it. Now they went to all the pictures, and the next after they left the bed, they went to my radio next, and they went over that radio. They thought that looked like perhaps the radio, something like they had, they said. So I told them, yes, that was what we call radio here. So I seen the two stations in one. But the battery kind of fooled them, but that thing was on top. Yes, but that was on top. So that was a 80 power pack. I don't know what a power pack was, so Mr. Barry operates the radio. I don't know what that was. They still don't know what that was for. They said, I don't, for power. Maybe you understand that. Power. It is about three times power. Power is different. All that power all over you, over here, and around you. Get that little battery like that, the power is there. Maybe here. So they went to measure on around the party to pictures on the same side of the room that they. Radio's on. And I let them pass the picture price, the last supper, the pictures. And they went on around a little farther, but I thought they went far enough past that. And I kind of want to find out if they even brought what they passed there. So I asked them if he said, that's the last picture. I said, he passed there, didn't mean anything to you. I didn't even want to know what it was. Because I don't want them to tell me what it was. If they knew, because they passed it. The answer was the very words that I could give you. And he said, yes, we understand, but you folks don't. But it's about the exact words you made the statement of. We understand, but you folks don't. So that kind of got me deep, so I didn't make any more statements about that or ask me any more. So they went on around farther. They're coming in now to the bedroom side, my desk, and the desk light. They want that turned on. That's when they commenced to kind of wonder about where my power comes from when I turned the desk light on. And turned the front room light on. They wonder where that power comes from. I told them it's from my own plant outside in my tool shed room and feed room called my doghouse. So then they look around the house a little more, see how things resembled mine and their house, to tell me how their things was, and then they said they'd like to go out to my plant. So he went first to the bedroom, and they seen my bed. They stopped seeing the other room that they looked at. They didn't come up to their approval. So that was just about to all I hear is was that I named you, they interested in the house, except the front room stove before they left. I lit it. They seemed to want to see it, but it was the same as the cook stove. They just put a little trash in the front room stove. I wore that pin on the handle. It's handy. So. Cool night, so I just put a little light in the front room stove, lit that for him. So from there on, they thought they better go out and see my light plant. See where my lights was coming from. engine out there and see my little light plant. The little big Stratton engine with the generator and the self drive. And that attracted their attention quite a bit. They watched that run. And when they stopped it, started it up again. And I stopped it, started it up again for them. So that seemed to be bothering a whole lot. You have to make power like that. And they submitted it from him to their power. The day I leave for it, they plug it into some of my radio. Just plug it into the radio. That's about the only thing they give me for the radio that I don't understand. They just plug it in the radio. If you ask them out here and do that, you get power. So we did, except people that lived on what they call the RU line, or the city. I said they had a electrified power and a central generator, as near as I understood it. But they didn't have to go out that way outside the house to start up the power to light the lights inside. That was still low. Still when right, you have to get power off the RU line and things like that. They said that it just comes from their radio. So they didn't even radio first. In time for it, they won. So that's, they gave me a full hour, but what I was told about what happened there that night in the hour, questions and things that they wanted to know, and things that I've asked them, just took about an hour pretty fast, and left just about at the end of that part of the interview when they was in the house. So they told me goodbye, that they were just going to see me again. Fourth contact was a, well, I left something out in the third contact, being very good before going to fourth contact, too. I was very interested in how they come there to my place. And before they left, that's when I was out there at the dog house, showing them my light plant. I wanted to see their ship off of that, to see how they got here. So I asked them if I could see their ship, and they nodded agreement and gave me a good smile. So I thought I was left in there. Leeway there to ask a few more questions right quick before they had a chance to ask, before they had a chance to answer me at the end of the day. So I said, best take a ride, and I still got the same smile back. I hurried up another right quick and said, perhaps take a few points with you, because they'd already told me that there's some meat. And they said, yes, that's granted. And so they told me goodbye, and they went back down to 1,500 feet, go west of the place, and took off. They said they would see me again when the next time they landed. What I asked would be granted, but I couldn't see their ship tonight. So they told me goodbye. So that's the end of the third contact. Now, the fourth contact, they never landed. They said they'll go over the house, and I heard their voice. Seemed to be over the public address system. Seemed to be loud and clear. And they seemed to be picking me up very clearly, so they talked to me for a few minutes. But the main object seemed to be coming to me this time was to tell me to get ready for my trip into space. So they said goodbye and took off. There's very little said on that fourth contact. Just merely to come there, seemed to tell me to get ready for my trip and to be ready. And I told them I'd be ready. Next time he landed, they said that I should be ready for my trip into space. So that was the end of my fourth contact now. So now I thought about my fifth contact. That was April the 24th, 1955, at 12 o'clock midnight. They landed and picked me and my dog Ted up and took us into space to Mars, the Moon, and Venus. But before we went, after we went down to the ship, they gave their dog a bath. They said that they understood what was here on Earth, different kinds of things. They didn't want the dog to take to their planet. So they gave the dog out of the bath. Then at their house, I asked them about their laws. I was telling them how they lived, what they lived by. And the last contact there, I asked them about their laws. And they said that they'd give them to me the next time I take on the trip in space. So now this trip in, before we took this trip in space, I was asked to wait outside and take that down outside. It seemed very odd to me to take it down outside when I was sitting inside the ship. They'd already opened the door to see a table inside two or three doors. But they asked me to take it outside so you don't argue with me, go along with me. So I sit down on the rock there, there's a light in the
checked over, and I compared the 12 laws that they said the 12 laws of God. They said they listed in 12 laws every day. But put them down with the word. He asked me, now, does that mean any of you take it taking it down outside? And that kind of had me guessing for a minute. I've done a lot of work outside with herding cattle. And I asked him, well, I didn't know exactly what he meant by that, but I said, I would say it's close to nature outside here. And, well, he said, that's a fair answer. He said, pretty good answer, maybe. Close to nature, and he said, very doubtless, yeah, close to nature. He said, yes, I'll probably do that. So then he asked me to come in the ship. So the first thing after I done, when I entered the ship, they showed me where the shower was, so I could prepare. Before I went out to the ship, I was asked to put on a pair of overalls that had nothing in the pocket. He knew they'd just been freshly laundered, so there'd be nothing in them. So he asked me if I would change, so there'd be nothing in the pocket. Be magnetized, and I asked if I'd take a camera. And I was told I could take a camera, but they said you take a pencil, a tablet, if you wish. So I took a, to make notes for drawings, so I took a tablet with me and drawings, to make drawings. So after I took his bath, shower, then I to the table, and I sit down there thinking that that would be the best place to sit down. They invited me to come on into the center of the ship, where they seemed to live. So he said, it's not sit down this table. He says, just sit down here with control. He says, you may take over. He says, I'll have to take a ship into space. And I kind of thought that was terrible. He says, I knew it. And I didn't know, but I just thought that was really possible with our ship. And I didn't think it could be a theory. And I thought it would be much more complicated. I didn't think it would be possible. And I thought they would really asking me things that the person here could not be capable of doing. They seemed to read my mind. Understand my hesitation. So they assured me that just sit down freely, that what we ask you to do, you want to, after you start in once to do it, you want to do it, and you will be awful glad to pray with us if you can do that to take us to space. And they said, I'll show you how it's done, show you what to do, take us to space. So there's a row of four buttons to the left hand side of the panel. He showed me what orders to press in from one right. I'll do it down to the fourth, and one right after the other, just a few minutes of meditation between each one. So I got into space. He said, now, it's beginning to be fun for me now. So he said, now you may play with it for a little while. He said, just, he said, do anything with it you like. He said, you cannot tear it up. He said, just, see what you do here. He said, try to tear it up if you can. So there's a good many controls on there, and I played some more, and every time I touched, I got the results. There's a TV. Of course, I didn't know how to knock men on any of them. He didn't show me on any of that. He just wanted me to touch a different thing to keep out the results I get with it. It seemed that nothing seemed like it. He said I couldn't find anything. So they seemed to be having much fun as I did. They laughed at me quite a bit. They seemed to be having much fun as I did. They sure put on the face stuff on everybody's mask ring. I tried to put it in the earth as near as I possibly could. The center of the ship was on part that turned. The outside of the ship never turned. So that accounts for the chart turned to either the right or left without making a complete revolution. And a head, straight head and back in the first, same way, without making a total revolution of the ship. If you done very quick, the center corner of the ship turned at all. It's the cool foot, center core of the ship turned. So I checked the TV. I thought that was part of the controls of the ship. And I got the result. I just got ship to ship controls. So it's controlling the ship. These other ships that were following, because they all traveled to me. I'll explain that why later. Under the load up map here. But I got the other two ships, and I told also that other ship farther away yet than that. The distance, they couldn't tell me too many things like put like to me in distance. Distance and speed don't seem to mean the same to them as it does to us. So I had the radio TV, the radio television, taking all the controls. And I still blame them, still having a good time when they thought they'd better take over and put the ship
something what they call remote control. In certain direction, they put first after certain remote control, they put it in the direction, certain direction to travel, and then later as they get nearer their destination, they put a sheet under the control board divided in lines, both directions, that they said was magnetic lines of force, and they can point any part of the universe they want to stop in. That is any part of that that man happens to show. They had a good many different men. So they put it in remote control, and they said we'll retire for the night. All three of us retired for the night. So they woke me up. Now, I'm telling the story here about what came in the note, so I check off where I left off and up in the next day. They woke me up on Mars. They said, you get just about getting ready to land on Mars. And the first ride on Mars, the day was warm and the sun was very bright. I couldn't tell whether the sun was coming up or going down. It was quite bright yet, because there wasn't seem to be no haze around, like I'll tell you later on some of the other places that I visited. If Mars is very clear, and I landed there, to the side entrance is just a little back of what they call the Lunar's home. Land on a grassy place there, and sort of a flagstone walk from the ship where they landed into the Lunar's. I believe sort of the cargo entrance, like into the. I told her done that, but it was a business trip. He didn't come in the front way for that reason. I shook hands with Ruler first and his wife. Three small children. And they seemed to know that we were coming. They had already prepared what they call a lunch. They planned a good big dinner. When I said he seemed to be hungry all the time, or I seemed to speak for myself. Mm-hmm. I guess that he's not the right to it. He seemed to do about a good job at it. But he all seemed to be as well as myself. He'd be quite hungry. And myself sleepy. I don't know about them. I was sleepy and hungry. And I slept all the time and flushed. That day, the sun was just going up or coming down, so I don't know the time of the day. You lose track of time. Because the time is done, every place you land there, and I lost track of time on the trip. They told me to use magnetic force and sun power and electric power. They're powered on Mars. So that's just about all I can tell you about Mars, except in the, don't forget, after that door, I can tell you how it felt. I noticed that the homes on Mars that I went in before I entered the house, the set of rock outside, and the interior seemed to be steel, as near as I could. Of course, how it's put on, I do not know, but it seemed to be definitely steel. It didn't seem to be plastic or anything like that. It just seemed to be steel, it looked like it. And the children rode. And after we had their lunch and went outside, the children rode a big bowl. They seemed to drive it on him. They pulled him out from the little top, catch him on his back, toss him in the air, and they usually turned over once before they hit the ground. They had smaller dogs, and that about the size of my dog. I think that weighed about 35 pounds of weight. They had their other larger dogs from the size of mine up to a larger collie. And then they had the big dog, the size of these bulls. I understand this other dog that size, but big bulls on them that I saw that size there. I noticed the lighting system was entirely different knowledge, but I noticed things are different. I noticed that more of a color than anything else, but I noticed that there were absent shadows. This light cast no shadows, no place. It seemed to come from everybody. The working hours, he told me, was from 1 to 3 hours. There's lots of them worked an hour, and some of them worked 2 hours, but very few of them worked only 3 hours a day. I told that the reason why he told about a library was because I brought the time Bucky had there before we left the room to go outside to the ship again. He put a book in the machine that was very much like a television set, and it started to play in their language. And Bucky told me that that could be, write the book the same way, or it could be used for music or voice of any language. So they played the book back for me, that had to be in their language. And they said that they didn't have libraries, that they were in all of the books in the book homes.
And there's one lady come in from some other home while I was there and bought several books to be played in that machine. And when she just bought those few books in, she noticed that there's a 70 books in this jeweler's home. And she made the remark that I'll see you're pretty low on books, and I better bring a lot more back besides these I have. They seem to circulate books now, everybody. They spend their time visiting and mainly traveling from planet to planet. Their spare time. So they got to do something. Walk a little time in the woods, they got to spend some other way. They seem to be happy visiting and going places, traveling planet to planet. I told her all of the place, planets in our system was inhabited. Told her many outside was inhabited. And when he said what they call others, he was ready to become into being. He meant that they were ready to be inhabited. And that they migrated to these other planets and become into what he called into being. The same as we migrated west to go west to east, going west to populate our western part of the country. They do the same way from planet to planet as they come into being. So I bring that bottle I can give you on Mars.